talk about Halachot Pesach, but I'm trying to cover all the halachot that we need to know, and the questions I'm going to take in the end, and to keep all the questions to the end. I'm trying to finish everything in one shiur. Normally we cover it in two shiurim, but I'm going to try to cover everything in one shiur. First, I'm going to talk about halachot of agala. Then I'm going to talk about the halachot of products, what products are kosher lePesach, and then we're going to talk about the laws of cleaning for Pesach, and whatever is necessary to know regarding Erev Pesach and the cleaning altogether for Pesach. In order to have a proper kashering for Pesach, the best thing is to do not to kasher anything. Buy everything new. Have everything set kosher lePesach, that use it every year without kashering pots, pans, forks, spoons, things like that. That's the best possible way without any shaylot, any questions to come up. But if somebody needs to kasher everything, anything for Pesach, it has to be done before Erev Pesach. And there was, we cannot wait till Monday morning to do kashering. It has to be done before Erev Pesach. After midday of Erev Pesach, one is not allowed to kasher anymore. During Chol HaMoed, one is not allowed to kasher anymore. And therefore, if somebody forgot to do the kashering before the time of destroying the Chametz, from that point on, we cannot do the kashering. There are three different levels of kashering. They have libun chamur, they have libun kal, and they have agala. Libun chamur means things that they are prepared without liquid. It has to be kashered with libun chamur. Libun chamur means either you have to use a blowtorch to destroy the pad or whatever you are kashering. The best possible, the best example of libun chamur would be a grill. If you have a grill that you want to kasher a grill for Pesach, the only way you could kasher them is through Libun Chamur, which means that you have to have a blowtorch touching it, or you have to cover the whole thing, you have to cover the whole grill with coals. And then turn it on, let it become to ashes. That's Libun Chamur. Libun Chamur means that it has to become red hot. Libun Kal means that you, again, the best example for that would be, let's say you have a pot and you want the pot to kasher, you put it inside the oven for 45 minutes, turn it on, let it stay there, take it out. That's considered Libun Kal. Libun Kal means that you put a piece of newspaper on the pot, just smokes, doesn't burn, there's a smoke coming up. That's Libun Kal. And Agala means that you have a pot of hot water, you dip everything you want to kasher, dip it inside this pot and pot in the hot water, and the hot water has to be bubbling hot water, not like hot water. Hot water, what I mean by hot, from here on, every time I say hot water, means the water has to be bubbling, right? That when you have the pot, also the pot has to be on the fire when you kasher. You cannot have the pot bubbling hot water, take it off the fire and put it on the table and kasher. Cannot do that. The pot, the water has to be on top of the fire the whole time during the kashering. There are three different categories. Normally when people are kashering for Pesach, one thing that everybody needs to use is agala, which is the hot water. I'll tell you there is a simpler way of kashering without the old mess of hot water. Anything that needs to be kashered through agala, you could kasher it also through libun kal, which means that let's say you have 50 spoons and knives and forks and everything. Put it in a pan, put it inside your oven for 45 minutes, the highest degree, take it out, wash it, and it's ready to go. You don't have to have the hot water, you don't have to have the old mess of the hot water, That's the easier way of cashing anything that needs the agala without the mess of the hot water. Therefore, if that these things only would work if you don't have the plastic handles. If you have the handles that have plastic on them, you have to unscrew them, then put them inside the oven, then you have to kasher or clean the handles by themselves. Now, the question is in the end. What I call it, right? We have ovens and stoves, refrigerator, and sinks. There are four different things that everybody needs to cash in. Now, the problem with the stovetops. Stovetops today used to be very simple and very easy to take care of stovetops. Stovetops, either you had electric stovetops or you had gas. The gas is very simple. Take them out, put it inside the oven for 45 minutes, you cash it, done, that's it. Or if you had electric stovetops, you just turn it on for 15-20 minutes, let it become red hot, and that would be over. Today is a different ballgame because today you have so many different types of stovetops that some of them cannot even be cashed. You have, for instance, there is one with a glass stovetop. For Sephardim, it's not a problem. Just clean it up and use it. It's not a problem because for Sephardim, glass doesn't need to be cashed. Glass doesn't have nothing. They just wash them up and fine. For Ashkenazim, glass stovetops cannot be kasher because the glass stovetop has a din of keli cheres, like a clay. Clay cannot be kasher. Now, the glass also has a din of clay. What do you do for Pesach? People have that. There is a simple way of doing it. I tried it myself, and it could be done, and I told other people about Stein also recently tried it for himself. Very simple. Go to Ace. Ask them that you want a sheet of metal. And this sheet of metal has holes in them. You just cover the whole thing, and then don't have to do it. Just clean your stovetop, put that sheet of metal over it, put your pots and pans over that, and pans all over. Don't have to worry about anything. I tried it in my house for years already. It's not, the cooking is very simple, does not affect the cooking at all. But if you don't want to do that, then you have to cashier it. The cashiering it is very complicated, and it might even break your stovetop if you have something like that. There's also other types of stovetops, which besides the problem of cashiering the tops itself, the between stovetops is also a problem because the heat doesn't get there, and a lot of times when you cook, you put the pots and pans between the stovetops, and that part cannot be kasher. The only way you could take care of that has to be covered. The way you could cover it, you have to cover the aluminum foil. But if you put aluminum foil there, it's going to rip up. It's not going to last for too long. Therefore, the easiest and simplest way to take care of that is to just cover it with that sheet of metal, and then you won't have any problems. Now, that's the stovetops. Ovens, we have two types of ovens. There's the oven that's self-cleaning oven, and then you have an oven that is not self-cleaning. If you have a self-cleaning oven, it's very simple. Just put it on a self-cleaning, and that cleans and kashers at the same time. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, then you have to wash them up with easy off. You have an easy off to clean them. Then you could turn it on and let it stay on for 45 minutes, the highest degree, and then becomes kosher. There are some say that the ovens that they have, the window doors, you have to cover the doors. You don't have to do that. Just as you make sure that there's nothing on it, then you are fine. But there are some say that you might hear from some people that they say you should cover the windows, but don't have to. It's nothing to worry about. Now we have the sinks. There are few different types of sinks. If you have a metal sink, it's very simple to take care of that. If you have a sink made of porcelain or any other plastic or any other types, then cashiering them is not simple. If you have a metal, then don't use them. Don't use with the hot water for 24 hours. Then get hot water, boiling hot water, and pour it all over your sink. Right? That's what I say over all over the sink. That means the faucet and every part of the sink, not only the middle part. All over the sink, the water has to touch. And also, there's one thing I have to emphasize. A lot of people, when they have the hot water, because the pot is too big, they get a glass or they get a different pot to dish the water out. You are not allowed to do that, because the water has to go straight from the fire to the sink. Once you get another utensil between, then the water is not as hot as supposed to be. The water has to go straight from the fire. You have to pick it up or make sure that you boil your water in the small pots. Don't put them in a big pot that cannot pick them up. Then pick it. You have to get the water out, pour it over the sink, and that's the way to make them kosher. If you have sinks that they are not made of metal, then the only way you could kosher them, you have to cover them with the contact papers or aluminum foils. There's no way you cannot kosher those. And or something else you can do, to put buckets inside the sink and make sure that the pots and pans does not touch the wall of the sink. We have also the countertops. The countertops, there's a problem. There's a few different types of countertops. You have the fancy countertops. They have the cheap countertops, the plastic countertops. Today, unbelievable how many different types of countertops are out there. Some people are scared of cashiering them. They want to pour hot water over them. The best and easiest thing is go to Home Depot, buy a sheet of plastic, heavy-duty plastic, cover your countertop with them and use them every year. You don't have to pour water, you don't have to make them, destroy them. You don't have to have a mess in your kitchen. That's the simplest way of doing it. I've been doing this for 10 years, a piece of sheet of plastic, heavy-duty. They stay for years. Just cover them, take them out, and bring them back next year. You are fine, don't have to worry about anything. The microwave, there are ways to kosher microwave, but the easier thing is not to kosher microwave. The problem with microwave is, there are different types of microwaves, and not all the microwaves they work the same. If I tell you one way, it might not work for your microwave. Therefore, the best thing is put your microwave away and don't use them, or get a new one for Pesach. Another thing that you are not allowed to kosher, hot water urns. The hot water urns, it cannot be kosher, and also you have to get a new one for Pesach. Dishwasher. If you have a dishwasher, either you have to get a new inside, right? New racks, and then let it operate with the hot water to clean up to clean up the walls, and then you could use it. But again, buying a new rack is like buying a new dishwasher. That's expensive. The racks are very expensive. It's not worth it to buy new racks. If you want to buy new racks, buy a new dishwasher, probably will come out cheaper. Now you have the tables. The tables also, you have to clean them and cover them. The jewelry, anything that you have, rings, especially your rings, has to be kosher through agala, because your rings are so involved with chametz, they also have to make sure it's kosher. If you have a false teeth or retainers or bite plates, any of this, you have to make sure it's cleaned. And don't use them for hot stuff for 24 hours. And then you have to do agala on them. Agala, make sure take them out and don't put hot water in your mouth. That's the way to do a galanda. The kiddush cups also has to be kasher through a gala, because again, with kiddush, even though that you might say what's involved, all was inside the kiddush was wine. The problem is that the kiddush was on your table, was involved with chametz, was washed with your all other dishes, and they are considered chametz. Therefore, if you want to use your weekday kiddush, you have to kasher them. Candlesticks really does not have to do anything with them. But again, the problem is if you have your candlesticks sitting on your Shabbos table, not on the side, on the Shabbos table, then you have to kasher them also, because they could come in contact with all the foods and the things that you have on the table. High chair trays, they also has to be cleaned and hot water poured over them, because they also come in contact with chametz all the time. If you have a blech for Shabbos, you have to also change your blech. You need a special blech for Pesach, and if you cannot do that, then what you can do, could use the old blech, but you have to wrap them two times with a heavy duty aluminum foil, and you could use them that way. The hot water that you use for a gala, if you have a lot of dishes that are going to be a lot of dishes you want to do a gala on them, make sure that the water doesn't get so thick that it doesn't have the color of the water anymore. A lot of times people are using the water so much that you don't see the color of the water changes, and you don't see there's no water anymore. Soap becomes soap. And then that's not good. The water is not. There has to be clear water in order to be kosher for the hagala. Also, one is allowed to do hagala half and half. And there was, if you have a big pot, the one you can't put the whole thing at the same time. You could do half, then you could do the other half. It doesn't have to be the same time. Tevila, if you do it for mikveh, tevilat klim, that you cannot do half and half. That you have to do at the same time, the whole thing at one time. Also, you are not allowed to have, and if you have a maid at home, you cannot ask your maid to do a gala for you. You could be standing over them, tell them what to do, but you cannot tell them, you know what, I got so many different pots and pans, would you please do a gala for me? They don't know what you're talking about. You have to either be there, or you have to show them exactly what to do. Same thing with tevilat kelim. If you have a maid at home, or you have a child less than age of bar mitzvah, you are not allowed to ask them, cannot give them a dish, tell them, would you please take it to the mikveh and tovel it for me and bring it back. They have no ne'emanut, no, they are not believed that they could do that. Therefore, either non-Jew or a child less than age of bar mitzvah, they are not ne'eman, you cannot rely on them to do the agala for you. The netilat adayim kli that you have, that use them for washing your hand, the ones that are in the kitchen, it has to be kasher. It has to be kasher. The ones that you have in your bathroom for the morning, those you don't have to worry about it, and you could use the old one that doesn't need to do anything with them. Toothbrush, you cannot use your daily toothbrush, you need a new one, and you have to, you could keep the old one for after Pesach, but you cannot use the old one, you have to put them away and use the new one. You have to get the new one for Passover. Now, I just want to note one thing here. Pesach is the time that we have to really enjoy ourselves. I know people that they have such a hard time cleaning and going and through this and that. It doesn't have to be that way. You could really work and make your schedule in a way that non-necessary things, cleaning, don't have to do. If you go according to halacha and don't drive yourselves crazy that at the Seder night, night of Seder, people are so overwhelmed, so tired, they can't enjoy themselves for the Seder. Therefore, don't do unnecessary cleaning. Do only things that according to halacha is important to do, and make sure that also Leila Seder, Gata Levenecha to Seder Azada, is also Midoraita. The cleaning is only Midarabanan. But enjoying the Seder, sitting at the table and reading the Agada and saying the Agada, that's Midoraita. Yes, that's, you have a much bigger responsibility for that than cleaning and cooking and everything else. Darling, I'm not saying it's important, but you have to have your priorities straight. What is more important for the Seder night than cleaning and cooking and cashering and everything else? That's the halachot of cashering. Now I want to go through the stuff to buy. What are the things that one has to, what's important. Also, that's another thing. Don't spend money on the things you don't have to. There are a lot of things that is kosher without Ashkacha for Pesach. And you could save money on that. You don't have to spend money on the things that is not necessary to get. Now, frozen vegetables, you cannot buy the regular frozen vegetables. They are not kosher for Pesach. It has to have special Ashkacha for Pesach. I don't know if they have in Atlanta, but in a normal day, in a regular during the year, we say that frozen vegetables does not need Ashkacha. Any frozen vegetables without Ashkacha is fine, as long as it's only frozen vegetables, nothing else in them, they are fine. But for Pesach, you need to have special Ashkacha for Pesach. Peeled vegetables and fruits for Sephardim is okay, for Ashkenazim is not okay, because the problem is kitniot, and therefore you could go to public and buy peeled vegetables and peeled fruits. They are fine, no problem. You don't need a special Ashkacha Pesach for Sephardim. The dairy products, they all need Ashkacha for Pesach, except milk. If you buy your milk before Pesach, then you don't need to have, you don't have to buy Chalav Israel. You could buy a regular milk before Passover, and then you are fine. It's not a problem. But if you want to have, if you want to buy Chalav Israel, Matov Umanoim, beautiful. But you don't have to pay $8 or $9 a gallon to buy Chalav Israel. If you are not buying Chalav Israel, then you should buy Chalav Israel. If you are not buying Chalav Israel, the regular Kroger or Publix meals is fine, as long as you buy them before Pesach. But if you need to buy during Pesach, then you have to buy with kosher Pesach. Canned vegetables, they need to have special Pesach Ashkacha. If during the year also we need to have Ashkacha, but for Pesach, you need to have kosher Pesach. Toothpaste, you don't need to have a special Ashkacha for Pesach. Any of the main brand, Colgate, Crest, Close-Up, they are all fine. Could use them, and it's not a problem. Tea and coffee, if they are not flavored tea or coffee, they are fine without Ashkacha for Pesach. And also, if it's decaffeinated, decaffeinated is Ashkacha, but the regular 100% tea and coffee, they are fine with the regular Ashkacha, and you don't need to have Ashkacha for Passover. Cocoa, Hershey cocoa, they are 100% cocoa also fine without Ashkacha for Pesach. There's nothing in them, it's only cocoa, and there's, it's okay. The Hershey's is fine. The other ones I'm not sure, but the Hershey's cocoa is fine. The tea bags, the Lipton tea bags is fine without Ashkacha for Passover also. It's nothing in it. The questions I'm going to ask get the questions next. Juice, the apple juice needs to have Ashkacha for Pesach. Orange juice, they are fine without Ashkacha for Passover. As long as 100% is fine. The 100% apple juice, you need to have Ashkacha for Pesach. flour, any type of flour is considered chametz, and you cannot, even though it says 100% flour, white flour or all wheat flour, any of that, they are considered mamash chametz gamur, and you cannot use them, cannot even have them, you have to sell them. Spices, all different types of spices have to be kosher lepesa. The only type of spices, by the way, even salt, the salt also, you should try to get them for kosher lepesach, but there are spices like cumin or things that you could buy in farmers market. I can't say for sure that they are fine, but if you know for a fact there's nothing in them, you could use them. Because there's no kosher lepesach, this type of things like cumin and things like that, you cannot buy them kosher. There's no kosher lepesach for them. But if you find them, like regular kosher, go to the farmer's market, and in front of you, they grind them, you could use them, it's not a problem. Rice, again, for Sephardim is fine. Those are not all the Sephardim. Some Sephardim eat, some Sephardim don't eat rice. But those people that they eat rice for Pesach, you have to make sure it's 100% natural and bleached. If it's bleached, it's not okay, and then we have to make sure of that. And also, you have to check them 3 times before Pesach, and don't just rely on washing them. You have to go through them and look for everyone to make sure there's no grains inside your rice. Rice are very dangerous. That's why a lot of people don't eat rice. Even a lot of Sephardim don't eat rice either on Pesach. Shampoo, soap, and all of these things, they're all fine. Don't have to get kosher lepesach. Don't drive yourself crazy with this type of thing. The makeups for women, all the makeups, they're also fine kosher lepesach. Don't have to also get any kosher lepesach. They're all fine. There's not a ola achila. There's not a problem. You could get them. Fresh Express salads, right? They find for Sephardim, for Ashkenazim is a problem of kitniot, and therefore any vegetables that are washed and they have a regular Ashkach on them, like OV or OK, they are fine for Pesach, for Sephardim, but for Ashkenazim would be a problem of kitniot. Dried fruits, they need to have Ashkach for Pesach, and some of them, that Del Monte raisins, they are okay with, or you alone does not have to have kosher lepesach hashgacha. But again, you have to check and make sure that the list stays the same every year. These things every year changes. Fish, salmon fish from Costco that they have OU, the fish that there's no spices on them, it's only fish, any kind, as long as it's kosher, it's fine. You don't need kosher hashgacha lepesach. But it's 100% fish without any spices. They don't have the frozen fish I'm talking about. They're fine. Lemon juice, the real lemon or real lime, they're both fine without hashgacha for Pesach. You don't have to pay extra money to get kosher lepesach. The baking soda, Arb or Hammer, they both are fine. You could get them also without Ashgacha LePesach. Aluminium foil, if you have pans, aluminium foil or pans, you don't need to have a special Ashgacha for Pesach. With OU alone, they are also fine. There's no problem with them either. Now, let's talk about the matzah and the wine and everything else. Now, matzah, they have so many different types of matzah in the market. They have Israeli matzahs, American matzahs. Every year, I prefer to use only Yehuda matzah. Yehuda matzah, Ashkacha-wise, is the best Ashkacha from all the matzahs that they have there, and it's the cheapest. It's the cheapest matzah and the best Ashkacha. Not too many people know that, but the Yehuda matzah, anything that Yehuda makes, they're very good ashkacha, and they are fine. That's the best. This one to use. Wine, also because Everybody has a different preference of what wine to use for Pesach, but whatever wine you want to use, it has to have at least 4% of alcohol. Any wine that's less than 4%, you are not yotze for Leila Seder. So there is only one, I think, is has less than 4. They call it Kal Kedem. Kedem Kalo. Kal Kedem, I think, at 3%. You cannot use that. It's not kosher for Pesach. Could use it for Kiddush, but not for Pesach. There are ones, the one that is halachically is good and also is light is Rashi. The Rashi light has I think 4%. The halachically is fine and also is not that heavy that makes people have a headache or drunk or things like that. Now there are wines or grape juice. If you have a grape juice and made of concentrate, is not kosher for Pesach. Also, it's not kosher for Seder. Cannot make more pregefen on them. If you have a kosher, have a concentrate grape juice, you could use them, but you have to make sha'akol. It's not more pregefen because they are so much diluted with water that is not kosher. Is not kosher for Leila Seder. Now, according to halacha, it's better to use a not mevushal wine for Leila Seder, for only the arba kosos, for the 4 cups. It's better to use not mevushal. The only ones that is not mevushal, the kedem wines, the big bottle kedem wines, even though it doesn't say on them not mevushal, they are not mevushal. Could use them for Leila Seder, but again, you have to make sure that who do you have on your table, and you have to make sure that who touches the wine in order to give it out. But that wine is the only one that's not mebushal, and is the alcohol of it is not that much either. Now, medication. First of all, if somebody has or needs to use any type of medication, if a doctor tells you that you need to be on a certain medication, and if you don't use that, it's going to be a problem, don't ask any questions and use your medication, even if it's chametz gamur. That you cannot put your health in the middle, or chas v'shalom, should be a sakana for somebody, because they want to be machmir, and they don't want to use their medication, because there's a chametz in it, and they put it. Unfortunately, there are so many different stories going around, that there are people, they want to use they have a heart problem, they didn't want to use their medications, and they had a heart attack. And there are so many things that we hear. Therefore, if somebody has a problem, a doctor tells them they need to use them, any kind of medications, you could use them, and don't have to ask any questions, not a problem at all, and it's mutar l'chatechila to use them. I'm going to talk about medications that you don't have to use. When I say medication you have to use, then it's not a question. We are not talking about that. There's no question about that. You have to use. Now, there are any medications like Tylenol, Advil, aspirin, any of these things, they are all fine. It's not a problem. Any liquid medications like Tylenol liquid medication, any one of them that they have a flavoring in them, then is not, probably is not kosher. You have to check with the list. There's a list that you have to check to make sure it's kosher. But anything that comes in the form of a capsule or pills, there's not a problem with them, and you could use them. Now, if you have any other type of medications or vitamins, the vitamins, a lot, they have to look at the label and find out if it's vegetarian or there's flour in them. You have to look, a lot of information you could really get from the labeling, but the vitamins, because it's not necessary for anybody's health, they could live without it for a week. Again, you have to ask your doctor. If your doctor says not a problem for a week, it's not going to do anything to you, then you should look and find out if there's any chametz in them, then stay away. If there's no chametz with them, you could use them. If it's a problem of kidney, even for Ashkenazim, it's not a problem. But they, if if there is a problem of chametz and you don't need to be on it, then you should try to stay away from it. But the regular medications, if it comes in a form of a pill or a capsule, that the major brands, most of them, almost 90% of them, are fine and it's not a problem. As long as no, but the cough medicine is a problem. I have to make sure it's kosher. Anything that comes with flavoring is a problem, and you have to make sure, you have to check for Ashkacha, make sure that there's not a problem with them. Okay, now let's talk about the cleaning for Pesach. First of all, the places that one need to make sure it's clean for Pesach are the places that you normally take the chametz. Now I see sometimes people, they take off their refrigerator, they take out their ovens, their stoves. You don't have to do that. It's not necessary to drag out your refrigerator or stove or oven to clean under them. There's no chametz in them. So how the chametz got there? That just clean the places like your bedrooms, your playrooms. Playroom is the worst place that could be chametz in them. Your kids' knapsacks are the worst place that you have to make sure that it's clean for Pesach. And your car. The car also is a place that is so much chametz on everybody's cars that it has to be clean. Therefore, if you really put everything together, you have your living room, your dining room, your kitchen, you have your playroom, you have your car, and your bathroom. So you're going to say, what's in the bathroom? Your bathroom has all the perfumes that are mamash chametz gavur. That every year, I get a question around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, Erev Pesach, they forgot to sell their chametz. They found a perfume in their kitchen, they forgot to put it with the stuff that they sell for chametz. Perfume is considered chametz gamur, because anybody that's alcoholic could drink perfume. It's edible. And therefore, it's considered chametz. If you have that and you didn't sell it, you are mamash owning chametz during Pesach. That's one thing that you have to make sure that you sell. If you're selling any, first of all, you are allowed to sell chametz. There's nothing wrong with that. One is not, don't have to really go through to make sure that you have no chametz. It's a beautiful thing not to sell chametz, by the way. If you can, don't have to throw everything you have in order not to sell chametz, but if you could plan it in a way that everything you have is used before Pesach, matov u'manaim, beautiful. But if you can't, don't do bal tashchit. Don't throw things away that's mamash. You all give it to somebody. Give it to Salvation Army. Give it to somebody who could use it. But don't throw it in the garbage that it should not be used. Now, if somebody sells chametz for Pesach, lechatechila one should try not to sell anything that's open. Like, let's say you have half a box of Cheerios. Which guy is going to buy half a box of Cheerios? Who are you fooling? Well, who are you selling it to? When you sell something half open, right, then it's a joke. When you sell something to a guy, it has to be realistic. You have to really be sure that the guy is going to buy something like that. Therefore, if you have stuff that is half open, don't sell it. Either use it or make sure it's used, or throw them away. But if you have something important, let's say you have half a bottle of whiskey, Blue Label, right? then make sure that you could sell. That's not a problem, because everybody would buy half a bottle of Blue Label. Not a problem. Even the regular whiskey also they would buy. That's not a problem either. But anything that's not expensive, then it would be a problem and should not sell that. Now, when you sell your chametz, it has to be done in a way that is totally 100% real. It's not a joke. Mechirat chametz, selling the chametz, is not something that somebody made it up, I'm just going to put it in and sell it. It is real. If when you sell it, you have to put it in a place, and it has to be sealed, and you have to put a note on it that nobody should get in there. If you put it inside your kitchen, then nobody knows that there's a chametz in there, and your child or your husband, same. They go into the thing and take something out, then you have a problem. This is that, and again, Shulchan Aruch says clearly, it has to be in a place that is not reachable and nobody could touch it. If you put it in a place that people could touch it, then it is a problem and it's not good. Therefore, you have to be out of reach, you have to be signed on it, and also there has to be identified place. You can't have chametz all over your kitchen and you're working with the chametz sitting all over the kitchen. You could have one cabinet in your kitchen and sell the chametz, put the chametz there. But you cannot have a cabinet here, all over the kitchen, and you sell your chametz and you're cooking in the middle of your kitchen. That's not a proper thing to do. It has to be done with the sechel. Now, also when you write in your shitar mechira that you're selling your chametz, you have to identify the place in the world where chametz are. Because when the goy wants to, let's say a goy decides, Yom Tov in the morning, knocks at your door, picks your star up and it says the address and it comes and knocks at your door. And it happens, by the way. It happened before that a goy went in somebody's door and said, I came to pick up my chametz. They could, realistically, they could. It's theirs. And you have to let them come in, take what it is and do whatever they want to do with it. Therefore, in the Shtar Bechira says, where the key is, where the chametz is, and they could get the key, open the door, come in, and get their chametz and eat it. And we cannot stop them. That's what really Mechirat chametz is about. Mechirat chametz is not a joke, it's real. So therefore, you have to identify where your stuff is going to be, and make sure that you give me your shtar. I'll tell you what happened last year. Right after Pesach, the night after Pesach, somebody had 5 papers that filled up. He forgot to give it to me. And he was sitting in his car, right Motzei Pesach. After Pesach was over, he went into his car and he saw the papers are sitting in his seat. He called me up, he said, I have all these chametz here and I forgot to give it to you. But what's going to be? That's it, so I throw everything away. Make sure people are taking these papers, they fill it up, but in their mind, they think they gave it to me once they fill it up. You have to make sure it comes in and was given to me, and this way, you sold your chametz. If you just fill it up, and you are not selling it to me, you're just making me, I'm not a goy. And you just, when people, they think, I sold it to the rabbi. You don't sell to the rabbi, you're just making him an agent to sell your chametz. Okay, now, the places that needs to be, Mitzkesh, we spoke about that, Def, and also, one is not allowed to sell your own chametz. In other words, you cannot go to your next door neighbor and say, I got a chametz, I want to sell it to you. It doesn't work that way. It has to be done halachically. There are a lot of details. It's very complex halachot of selling the chametz. It has to be done through the rabbi. If you cannot come to make the rabbi, appoint the rabbi to sell the chametz for you, could fax the paper also. Faxing is good. Emailing also is fine. Could email the shtar to the rabbi and make him your agent to sell the chametz that way. On Erev Pesach, one is not after whatever the time is, 10, 11 o'clock, you are not allowed to eat the chametz. And an hour later, after that, they have to destroy the chametz. Now, that day, after that day, starting from the morning, you are not allowed to have matzah. Regular matzah is asur to eat on Erev Pesach until the night. Some say the night before also you are not allowed to have the matzah, but the halacha, you are allowed to have the matzah. Some people have a custom, starting Rosh Chodesh. Starting Tuesday, yesterday already, they don't have matzah. Some people don't have it only that day, some people had it before, some people had it from Shabbos. There are so many different cousins. But halachically, that day, you are not allowed to have matzah. Egg matzah, you are allowed to have. you are allowed to eat egg matzah that day for Sephardim. You could eat egg matzah the whole Pesach. Ashkenazim cannot have egg matzah during Pesach. Only the era Pesach until the time that you are allowed to have chametz. But after that, you are not allowed to have egg matzah also. The egg, if you eat egg matzah, the barakah for egg matzah is mezonot, it's not a motzi. And therefore, it's no water in it. They made it with eggs, and therefore the barakah is that. On Erev Pesach, one has to make sure, first of all, you have to make sure to burn your chametz on Erev Pesach. You cannot burn your chametz the night before. You cannot burn it also before sunrise. It has to be done after sun. If you cannot do it yourself, then appoint somebody to do it for you. If somebody has burned it, you could say kol chamira by yourself. You don't have to be at the time when they burn the chametz to say kol chamira. If they say you have to be at work, you could appoint somebody to burn the chametz, then in your office, you could say kol chamira three times. Also, one has to make sure that day, if you have dry cleaning, that you give it to be cleaned, you have to pick it up by 11 or 12 o'clock, before Chatzot. You cannot wait till after Chatzot. All the halachot of Erev Pesach after Chatzot is similar to halachot of Chol HaMoed. Therefore, anything that you are not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, you cannot do on Erev Pesach after midday. That means one is not allowed to shave, you have to cut your nails before. And if you need to have alteration on your dress or clothing, it has to be done before. All the halachot that on Chol HaMoed we observe on Erev Pesach before after Chatzot, you have to take care of that too. Working on Erev Pesach after Chatzot is not permitted. Therefore, one has to finish working if he's not a Efsed Meruba. Again, it's like Chol HaMoed. If you have a heter of working Chol HaMoed, you are allowed to work on Erev Pesach after Chatzot too. But if you don't have a heter to work on Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed, then one should not eat on Erev Pesach after Chatzot also. If you want to pick up your dry cleaning, even picking it up, not even giving it in, not even washing your clothing has to be done again before Chatzot. Even picking up your dry cleaning, you say you gave it 2 days before or a week before, you forgot to pick it up, you are not allowed to pick it up after Chatzot. And you are not allowed to pick up your dry cleaning during Chol HaMoed, even though you didn't wash it and you didn't give it in. It was done already before and you forgot to pick it up. Cannot pick up your dry cleaning during Chol HaMoed or Erev Pesach after Chatzot. It has to be done everything before. Okay, let's get questions.